Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. We're in the book of Romans, and in this episode, we are starting chapter 8. Well, some have said that chapter 8 in the book of Romans is perhaps one of the greatest chapters of Scripture, definitely in the Pauline letters. I wouldn't say that I necessarily disagree. It is a great chapter of Scripture. It's going to take us some time to get through it because there's so many, many beautiful things that Paul has to say in Romans chapter 8. Let me read the first four verses of Romans 8 to get us started in this episode. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, there's lots of little interpretive indicators as we kick off Romans chapter 8. One is one of those pointing words, therefore. We talked about these words that Paul uses in his letters that kind of bring us to attention, kind of draw our focus into something that he's getting ready to say. I've always said when you see a therefore, you need to ask yourself what it's there for, because it's there to point us to something specific. Paul has finished his discussion in Romans 5, 6, and 7, and I believe that he starts chapter 8 with this word, therefore. It's wrapping up everything that he's said up to this point. And the other little word there that we need to notice that catches our attention is the word now. We talked about that as well in one of the previous episodes recently, where Paul uses this, but now. He did it specifically in Romans chapter 3, where he summarizes everything he said up to that point. And then he says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested. Remember, he had that whole discussion about how man makes an attempt to righteousness in his own way. And God comes ultimately in Christ and manifests his righteousness at the crucifixion, at Jesus' death on the cross. God judges sin. And in doing that, he is the righteous judge. And so he reveals his covenant faithfulness to all of humanity, which proves that he is righteous and right in his actions. So these words are very important when we're interpreting Paul's letters. So I just want to draw your attention to those as we start chapter 8. Now, one of the things that is most noticeable in this first verse of chapter 8, it may be one of the most quoted verses in all of Paul. There's some other verses in chapter 8 that are also very popular, but this one specifically is one that many, many Christians go to and quote in regards to their position in Christ. And it says, but now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, in this episode, I want to focus specifically and in depth on this word condemnation. And in order to do that, we're going to go a little bit technical. I'm going to do a little bit of Greek lesson for us in this episode. As I've always said, I don't try to go too much into these areas in the podcast, but when it's beneficial and when it's necessary, I think we should do it. Paul implements a word here, condemnation. Now, this word is linked to a much larger group of words. In the Greek, we have this because the Greek language is built primarily on the verbal structure. Most words, whether they're nouns or adverbs or adjectives, have their root linked back to a verb. And this is the very case with this word. The verb is krino, and it actually means to judge. And then out of that comes the noun krisis, which means judgment. These words, to judge and judgment, are used throughout the New Testament. Jesus spoke a lot about judgment. He spoke a lot about the way he would judge and judgment would come and how to escape judgment. And all these word groups are used throughout the New Testament. But Paul implements a very unique form of this word here in Romans 8, and specifically only in the book of Romans does he use it. And we're going to look at those instances in just a moment. But I just want to point your attention to the fact that when a scriptural writer picks up a word and uses it uniquely, only in a few instances, that should draw our attention to what that writer is trying to communicate. So, yes, while the broader representation of a word group, might have meaning all throughout Scripture, when a unique form of that word is picked up and used by the writer, that should send up a flare. That should draw our attention to what the writer is trying to say. Now, the unfortunate thing that we have when we have our English translations is that these words are not often highlighted to us. That's why I always encourage people when they study the Bible, they want to really read the Bible deeper, then get a simple Bible app or use a simple Bible website. One that I use all the time is called the Blue Letter Bible. It's a great website. It's user-friendly, and you can dig down into deeper meanings of words. And this is something that will become apparent when you dig into this word. This word condemnation is a word that Paul builds out by adding a prefix to a form of this word krino. And the word that he uses is literally kata krima, and it means a judgment against. In other words, one way to translate that would be a penalty. The word judgment in and of itself is a neutral word. It doesn't necessarily have negative connotations. You can judge between two foods that you like. Maybe you judge that one tastes better than the other, and that's a simple amoral judgment. Now, judgment can move into the categories of negativity or positivity based on how you're applying the use of the word, and there's some of that in Scripture for sure. Jesus talks about judgment a lot in the Gospels. And so there is an element to penalty or judgment, but in general, the word doesn't necessarily carry a specific direction, be it negative or positive. But here in this word, it is specifically a judgment against. The prefix that he uses, kata, is a very strong prefix, and it means against. So what is he saying, and when does he use this word? Well, he only uses this word three times, and they're all in the book of Romans, and no other scriptural writer uses this word. Now, the reason why I'm focusing on this so strongly is because I have a personal conviction that Romans 8:1 is often misunderstood or misinterpreted in the application of what Paul's trying to say. Now, what most people read when they read Romans 8:1 is that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And we translate and interpret condemnation in a couple different ways. First of all, most of us would simply go to kind of an emotional level and say there's no guilt or there's no shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. We equate condemnation with a feeling that we experience in our thoughts or in our emotions. So that we feel condemned, or we feel less than, or we feel like we're not enough, and we interpret condemnation along those lines. Now, I'm not saying there's not any truth in that, but I'm saying it's not the proper interpretation of condemnation as Paul's using it, and I'm going to show that to us in just a moment in the episode. So that's one area that we fall into. Now, I strongly believe that if we walk in the truth of everything that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, we won't walk around with our heads held low and feel terrible about things that we've done in the past or things we're currently doing, and live in this place of feeling emotionally downcast. So there is some truth to that, but that's not what Paul's communicating. Another way that people would look at this verse is take it a little bit deeper in relationship to God, and they would say that now in Christ Jesus, there is no judgment. There's no judgment against us, and I would agree with that as well. But I think if we look specifically at Paul's use of this word, that's really not what Paul's saying either. We do pass out of judgment into life in Christ Jesus. And there's other verses that we can go to where the writers use the other forms of this verb and this noun, judge and to judge, and it has significant meaning. But here, I believe Paul is driving at a very specific meaning, and this is why he uses a unique word that he doesn't use anywhere else. Now, there's only two other places in the book of Romans that Paul uses this word, and they're both in Romans chapter 5. We looked at this in previous episodes. I want to go back and reread those verses, specifically Romans 5, verses 16 through 18. Let me read there. It says, "The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned." Remember, he's talking about Adam. "For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation." Now, he uses two different forms of this word right here in this verse. He talks about the judgment, the krisis, that comes through the one, and it resulted in katakrima. It resulted in condemnation. "But on the other hand, the free gift rose out of many transgressions, resulting in justification." Verse 17, "For if the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one," notice the word death, "much more those who receive the abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life," key word, life, "through the one, Jesus Christ." Now, verse 18, it contains the second reference to condemnation. "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men." What was Paul saying? We looked at it in detail. Let me summarize. Paul is saying, through the one act of Adam, the act of disobedience, sin entered in, and death through sin. So the penalty of sin is death. The penalty of sin is that death entered into the human race, therefore all died. And we've talked about this in detail. And this is something that I think is so foundational for us to see and to understand about the gospel. And this is why Paul drives it home, because Romans chapter 8 is going to represent what I would say to be Paul's conclusion. He is wrapping up his presentation of the gospel that he set out to do in chapter 1. And he said, "I'm going to tell you everything that the gospel represents, the good news of God," and he's going to move us through this process. And something that becomes very evident in Paul's understanding of the gospel, and it shouldn't come as any surprise to us, is that the good news of God has everything to do with life and death. Jesus came in order to conquer the condemnation. He came in order to defeat death, because death is the penalty. Death is the result of sin. Sin only has one destination, and it is death. And that is the condemnation. Death is the penalty. It's exactly what we saw in Romans chapter 6 at the very end there. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life." So Paul's saying, as a result of everything that God has done in Christ Jesus, we have been set free from the penalty of death. We will not die. Now, we've talked about it in practical terms. Yes, our physical bodies will expire, but our physical bodies are not the essence of who we are. They contain the essence of who we are. The essence of who we are is our new creation in Christ. It is that born again self. It is that spirit man that dwells inside of us, and that man, that woman inside of us will never die. We are now joined to eternal life. We have received justification of life, and we will reign in life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the power of the good news of God, that in Christ Jesus there is no death, no penalty, no condemnation. So when you read this verse, the thing that Paul wants us to understand, the foundational truth that everything has built up to this point, is that in Christ there is no death. Now, he's going to go into more detail and explain where the source of life is, how that life manifests practically in our lives. But first is this beautiful declaration: there is therefore now no penalty, condemnation, which is actual death, in the life of the believer anymore. This is the good news of God. Be strong and courageous, and love Jesus more.